Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Jesus. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, verse 16 says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." See, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by our natural ability. And blessed is the one whose eyes of their heart, their spiritual eyes, have been opened. And blessed is the one whose spiritual ears are opened. And that's not of your doing. Your eyes were not opened because you were smart. Your eyes were not open because you were good. Your eyes were open because God is wonderful. God is full of grace. God wishes for none to perish, but all to come to know Him. This is why your eyes were open. And it's a gift. And even today, your eyes are open because of God's goodness and His grace. You cannot earn your spiritual eyes to be opened. Even after your eyes have been opened, they continue to see new things and wondrous things because of His grace. It's because of His grace that you can see and continue to see. And it's because of His grace that you can continue to hear. Not your doing, not your works, but it's once you see with your spiritual eyes and once you hear with your spiritual ears from God that you'll want to work. You'll want to love others. You'll want to care for others. You'll want to be an ambassador and represent the King properly. And that's the wondrous work of the gospel. So let's pray together that God would open our eyes and ears today. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, an acre of diamonds. Holy Spirit, open our eyes today. Open our ears today to hear from the Father and from the Son. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way so that people can see clearly how good and wonderful God is. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So in 1869, Dr. Russell Conwell, a Yale University graduate, the author and lecturer and bestseller of a book entitled Acres of Diamonds, before he gave the lecture on Acres of Diamonds and wrote the book Acres of Diamonds, he went on a long trip. And he went along the Tigris River in present-day Iraq, using a guide hired in Baghdad who would take him out to the Persian Gulf. These river guides were like barbers or like pastors. They liked to talk. But the story this one told, Conwell insists, is easily verified. And the story is about a man named Ali Afrid, who lived on the banks of the River Indus, who had a nice farm with orchards and gardens. He had excess cash, a beautiful wife and children. He was wealthy because he was contented. Then an old priest visited him one night and related how the world was made. including the formation of the rocks, the earth, the precious metals and stones. He told the farmer that if he had a few diamonds, he would not just have one farm, but he would have many farms. The farmer listened, and suddenly that farmer wasn't happy anymore with what he had. So he sold everything, put his family up, and went traveling in search of diamonds across Persia, Palestine, and into Europe. And after a couple of years of finding nothing and running out of money, he was wandering around in rags in Spain. And one day, after sending a letter to his wife and kids telling them he had spent everything he had and he had found no diamonds, he threw himself into a river, never to be seen again. Tragic story that gets even more tragic. See, the man who had bought the farm from Allie and had one day been working that farm and experiencing the wealth and the provision that Allie once had, meeting all of his needs, faithfully working that ground. One day, watering his animals in the stream, he ran through the property. He noticed a shiny object in the watery sands. It was a diamond. In fact, it was one of the richest diamond finds in history. The mines of Galgandhi would yield not just one or two, but acres of diamonds. Acres of diamonds. Diamonds that would be purchased by the king and queen of England and put in their treasury. The largest diamond find ever found on the very farm that Ali left in search of diamonds. This story inspires many sermons, many truths. That the grass always seems greener on the other side. That lust is never satisfied. See, Allie, he was prosperous. He was rich. He had a beautiful family. He had everything that he needed. Until the desire for more and the discontentment of enough wasn't enough. See, if he had eyes that were opened, Allie could have seen the diamonds in his acres. It's a tragedy, church, that the greatest treasure who came to earth from heaven 2,000 years ago and died on a cross for all the ugly coal in the world. It's a tragedy that anyone would miss that treasure that died for them. It's a tragedy that anyone would never have their eyes opened to how much God loves them. For God doesn't just love the world, God so loves the world. He so loves the world And there's a difference from being loved and so loved, but that's a whole nother sermon for another time. But God so loved the world that he gave acres of diamonds in the form of his son Jesus. He bankrupted heaven to come to earth to purchase our lives and deposit acres of diamonds inside of us. These jars of clay that we are, these hunks of coal that we are, God has placed diamonds in us. And through life and life's pressures and the heat that comes from life and the time produces more diamonds inside of us. Amen. This is the gospel, and it's beautiful to those whose eyes have been opened. For those whose eyes have been opened, if you were so loved by God while you were lost and of the world, what are you now? That you have been born again and have been forgiven and have been placed a treasure from heaven inside of. That you have now become the living place, the temple of God, of the Holy Spirit. What kind of love does God have for you now? If you were so loved before, you are so loved today. Or are you so loved today? You're a treasure. You're the apple of his eye. You matter to God. You matter to God. And when you get that revelation that you are an acre, you are acres of diamonds, you are a treasure chest for God. You're the chest. The treasure is God, but you're a treasure chest to God. But before you can know you're a treasure chest to him, you have to receive the treasure. You have to receive forgiveness. You have to receive eternal life. But once you receive the treasure, once you experience being born again, and how can you articulate, how can you even explain just how he does it? I mean, for those of you who have experienced it like me, you know what I'm talking about. But it's so hard to explain this mystery that I was blind, I was lost, but suddenly my eyes were open and I saw the pearl of great price and I was willing to say, God, I'm going to go all in. I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to go all in for you, Jesus. I will follow you. I will go where you go, and your people will be my people, and I will live for you, because everything else is meaningless and purposeless apart from you. And that's what happened to me. And that's what happened to you if you've been born again. Your eyes were opened. But the enemy wants those eyes that have been opened to live shut and not see what God sees. He doesn't want you and me to see what God has placed inside of us. He doesn't want us to see the treasures and the power that he has placed, the inheritance that he's placed inside of us. He doesn't want us to see the plans and purposes that God has for us. And so he wants to keep us with our eyes shut. But the grace of God keeps our eyes open. The love of God, the mercy of God keeps our eyes wide open. Oh my, what's he going to do today? How am I going to be so loved today? Amen? Man, that should be our attitudes when we wake up in the morning. And let me tell you something that I just discovered this week about every morning you wake up. It gives new meaning to me in that there's new mercies every morning. You know why? Because your brain produces 1,400 new cells through the night. 1,400 new neurons have been birthed overnight. And guess what that means? You get to tell those neurons what to believe. What to believe. And the first thing they need to know is that they are so loved. I mean, come on, no snooze needed when you wake up knowing that. Amen? I mean, is that not powerful? Because see, the Bible doesn't say God gives you a new brain. He says he renews your brain. And renewal happens 1,400 cells a day, baby. Let the other ones die off. Let all the other ones die. Because you got new ones alive in you every single morning. That is the new mercy of God. He doesn't hold the bad neurons that you messed up and polluted. He let them die off. He gives you new ones. That's the new mercy. There's new mercy every morning. What will you do with that mercy? What will you do with that love? Those neurons are free. They're ready to obey. You tell them where to go. You tell them what to believe. Listen, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This was his prayer for us, for the saints, for the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart," come on, eyes wide open, come on, "the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparable great power for us who believe." This is his prayer. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. When you look to the right and to the left, what do you see? Hopefully you see diamonds and acres of diamonds. Because sometimes people need to be reminded because they don't see it. This is why the scripture says to encourage one another daily. Encourage them in what? In what's true. What's true is that if they've been born again, they're acres of diamonds. And if they haven't been born again, they're potential for acres of diamonds. Because God is not a respecter of persons. They're acres of diamonds, church. And Bethel, we are acres of diamonds. When I look around this room, I get overwhelmed with the beauty of the people that God has brought here. And that God has saved, and that God has matured, and that God has just equipped in this body. I absolutely love this church. I've told you this before. If I wasn't pastoring this church, I would attend it. I made a determination, my wife and I, at the beginning, I said, we are not going to pastor a church that we wouldn't attend. So we're not. And I thank God for raising up the diamonds. You may feel like coal, but there's a diamond inside of you. And we can see it. We can see it. And we've got to see it in one another. We've got to call out that diamond. As Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So what we also get to do is we get to rub up against each other and we get to chisel that coal off so more of the diamonds are exposed to the light. Because God wants us to arise and shine. He wants us to arise and shine. But if your eyes are not open, if you're not living with the eyes of your heart enlightened, if you're not getting into the Word, which is a mirror, if you're not spending time with Jesus, you're not going to see who you are. You're not going to be able to know all that God has placed inside of you. You're not going to know how beautiful you are and what a gift you are to this church and to the world. Some of you know the story. Nearly 15 years ago, I was crazy enough to obey God and start this church, okay? And in the process, we grew really fast in the first 18 months, Mark. And he was there. And Josh was there. And everybody thought, oh, you're going to be the next mega church. I go, I don't think I want to be a mega church. But we were growing fast, and after 18 months, we were at 350 people, and then I went to India looking for diamonds. No. I went to India, and God spoke to me. He said, do you want to build my church my way? I said, I'm going, God, of course. I didn't want to do this. Of course I want to do it your way. He didn't have to say anything more. I knew what he meant. He said, go back. Be all about relationship. Make disciples. So under my incredible leadership gift, over the next 18 months, I was able to grow our church from 350 people to 80 people. Oh, it was painful. Super, 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 super painful. I should have cried a lot if I was wise enough, but the Lord let me cry those tears out years later. Hallelujah. But it was super painful. And guess what people saw? They just saw a big clump of coal as their pastor. One after another, people left. I'm like, no, I'm a diamond inside. No, the truth is, I really didn't know that. But there were 80 people. When the bleeding stopped, Mark Molson saw a diamond in me. Josh and Farrah Mills saw a diamond in me. My wife saw a diamond in me. We are acres of diamonds. I know I'm a treasure. I'm a treasure because God placed the treasure inside of me. And we want to be a people and a family that sees the diamonds in each other. Doesn't mean we don't have clunks of clay hanging on us that needs to get chiseled off. But we can see the glimmer, the glisten of light coming from the diamond inside. And by the grace of God, every staff member in this church wasn't discovered in another field. They were discovered here. And many got dropped into this field. And we only want the field God has. And if you don't think I'm a diamond, go try to find one. You're obviously blind. No, I just might not be your diamond, okay? Look, we know. I mean, we know the facts. We know our shortcomings. We're self-aware. But we choose to have an exaggerated view of each other.
Yeah, that's good.
An exaggerated positive view. Do you know that good marriages and bad marriages have something in common? Yeah, they have something in common. They have a common thing. And that's that in a good marriage, people have an exaggerated view of how good their spouse is. And the same is true as I've sat down with some marriages that have been gone through some difficulty. In those moments, they literally describe their spouse like the devil. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, they're not that bad. Okay. But that principle of exaggeration. And here's the truth. How can you exaggerate how awesome someone is when God determined their awesomeness by placing himself inside of them? He's determined how awesome you are already. And he's determined how valuable you are. It's for us now to discover that about one another. Amen? And those that are not yet, haven't been born again, it's for us to let them know how valuable they are to God and what he's already done for them. Amen? Acres of diamonds. Proverbs 17:24 says, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Are your eyes open? Are you in view? Are you viewing what's good and lovely and pure? Do you see the treasures you have? Do you see the blessings that you have? Because if you don't, even what you have will be taken from you. Don't. I mean, what if every single night, what you were grateful for that night is what you woke up to the next morning? Whoa. Meaning, everything you weren't grateful for when you went to bed, you lost over the night. See, that is what's actually happening in so many people's lives. They have forgotten to be grateful for what they have in their lives. And guess what? It's still there, but it's like it's gone because they can't even experience it. They can't experience the pleasure and the contentment with what they have. Again, lust is never satisfied. God has placed his treasure inside of you. You're a jar of clay. You're a treasure box. Do you believe that? Do you get up in the morning to open up the box to see what's inside? See, that's what the Word of God does. When we open up the Word of God, it's a mirror showing us the treasures that are inside of us, showing us how precious we are. And when you realize how precious you are, you ain't going to treat yourself that way, the way you've been treating yourself. You know, the prodigal son, his eyes wandered to the ends of the earth. He didn't recognize how good he had it. And he thought there was something better out there, right? And he wandered out there only to lose it all, but come to his senses that I had it all. And he came back, hallelujah. But here's what's tragic. It's not just the prodigal son. It's the son who never left. The older brother is the bigger tragedy of the story because he was there, but he never saw what he had. And that's like a Christian that's been born again, and they never recognize the treasures that God has placed inside of them. They never recognize or discover the purposes that God created them for. And so they live their life just for themselves. Like King Solomon, it's all meaningless apart from God's purpose in your life. And the older son was purposeless. He had it all. He didn't get it. It was all his. And church, do you not recognize it's all yours? The kingdom of God is yours. It's at hand. What will you do with it? And if you mess up, here's the good news. There's new mercies. There's 1,400 new neurons every morning. And there is an endless supply of treasure. God has no lack. He says, go for it. Go for it. So as I'm beginning to close, and you know there's a difference from beginning to close and actually closing. I'd like to look at the story of Jesus' crucifixion. The greatest treasure that ever walked the earth went to a cross to die for our debt. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of how Jesus was crucified between two criminals. And most of you know that one of the criminals turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me." But you may not know that Matthew and Mark don't tell us that. They don't tell us those details. But what they do tell us is that both thieves, at the beginning of Jesus being crucified, mocked Jesus. Both of them did. Now, for the eyes who have not been opened, you could look and go, oh, the Bible, it's contradiction. It's contradicting itself. Because Luke says that one of the thieves said, "Stop it." But Matthew and Mark, they said both thieves said they mocked Jesus. See, the Bible's a contradiction. Can we really believe it? I mean, it was just written by man. No, let me help you out here today. The only contradictions the Bible has are that it contradicts how you are living your life. Whether you come across something that seems like a contradiction is just your eyes have not been opened yet. God hasn't revealed the truth about that. I mean, come on. Don't think that highly of your mind. Think highly of the mind of Christ. So, what is it then? What is the truth? Well, for the eyes that have been opened, it's clear. It's so clear. It should be. And let me help you. As God's revealed it to me, I want to reveal it to you. What is it? Is it a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Both thieves were mocking Jesus at the beginning of the crucifixion. But over the hours of Jesus suffering and the hours of Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Don't hold this against them." As they spit at him and they mock him, right? And he's, "Forgive them, God. Don't hold that against them." And then during the crucifixion, he turns to his mom and then he turns to John. He says, "John, take care of my mom." I mean, can you imagine? I mean, here he's suffering. He can hardly breathe. And he's thinking about his mom. That's what love does, church. That's what love does. When you're in pain, get your eyes off yourself. Get it on somebody else. Man, it's amazing. It doesn't always remove the pain, but it sure does make it easier in that moment. And it doesn't waste the pain. So many times we waste the pain we're in by being selfish. Choose love, be selfless, and then get the reward that the pain will produce. and Jesus, thinking about his mom. And then again, the high priest mocking him. The soldiers gambling for his clothes. He's just, God, forgive him. Don't hold this against them. Don't hold this against them. Somewhere in this suffering, this coal that the world saw and the thieves at the beginning of the crucifixion saw, because when they looked at Jesus and his suffering and beaten to beyond recognition, you know what they saw? They saw coal. But one of the thieves' eyes were opened. And he says, this isn't coal. This is acres of diamonds next to me. And he says, stop this. We deserve what we're getting. And he turns to Jesus. He turns to what appears to be unrecognizable human, Jesus. And he sees acres of diamonds, and he turns to him and he says, remember me in your kingdom? Would you remember me? I see the treasure that you are, and I want you. I want what you have. And church, June of 1987, my eyes were opened to the kingdom of God, where I made a decision to go all in for Jesus, because I saw that Jesus was the acre of diamonds. He was the pearl of great price. So today, who is Jesus to you? Is he your great reward? Is his presence the blessing? Are your eyes open to knowing how loved you are? How valuable you are? He's so good. He's the only one that can bring meaning and purpose out of this broken world. He's the only one that can give hope when everything is hopeless. Because he's the acres of diamonds. Would you bow your heads as we close with me? Jesus. Do what only you can do. Open our eyes again. Open our eyes again. Open our eyes for the first time to know that you are the acres of diamonds that we long for. You are the giver of life and purpose and significance. You're the one that can make all things new. And if you need Jesus today to do any of those things, he's here. He's here to heal you. He's here to forgive you. He's here to set you free. He's here to comfort you. He's here to love you. Eyes open. Do you want to open your eyes to Jesus? so you can believe and receive that which you need today. We all come with different challenges and problems, but Jesus is the answer. He's the solution to it all. And if you need Him to touch you today, you need Him to love you today, you need Him to comfort you today, would you lift up your hand, because I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, these are your treasure chests. Would you pour out your treasure in them? Would you pour your treasure out in them? Right now, just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I receive you. He's pouring out His treasure. He's pouring out His comfort. He's pouring out His love. He's pouring out His provision. Whether you're here or watching online, He's pouring it out. Your eyes have been opened because you've responded to His love, to the gospel that saves, that heals, that delivers.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.